Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded March 21st, 2013 at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 10 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme Extremes. This week's story comes to us from Brian Marsh and is titled Extreme Love. Follow Brian's adventures at apocalypsenowandthen.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening.
In my line of work, this is something I've never been able to stay in front of a group. You're all enjoying yourselves, having food, having drinks. I'm scared shitless. But in a really good way. Jumbo. Try that again. A little call and response here. Jumbo. Congratulations, you now know how to say hello in Swahili. This story takes place in July of 2011 in Nakuru, Kenya. 15 Missoulians, one Kalispellian, and one Atlantan, Georgian, gathered together and traveled halfway across the world to connect with a community in Nakuru, Kenya, and a shelter that people here in Missoula helped start to rescue young women and their children off of the streets and into a community of safety where they could get education and health care and live in a loving and accepting environment. And so we were there to meet some of these young families. Some of us were there for the second time, and we were there to connect with them, to help in any way we could, and to strengthen that bond of relationship. Well, one day, the faith community there that we were connected with, they were going to serve lunch to some of the homeless population in downtown Nakuru. Now, these young women and children in the shelter at one time all used to live in an area of Nakuru that is a makeshift dump. It's where all of the merchants in town drop their trash because there isn't really any sanitation pickup. And so this place has come to be known as the Black Base. And there are, given the season or time of year, anywhere from 100 to 200 young people and children who live in the Black Base. And so the young women want to take us down there to show us where they came from. All of these young people are orphaned by life for one reason or another. Most of them are trapped in the throes of addiction. The drug of choice is glue. To sniff glue because A, it's cheap, B, it's available, and C, it quells hunger pains. And some of these kids go hours, days without a solid meal. And so this group from the faith community go down once a week to a local park to feed them lunch. And so we went down to the Black Base, and the girls introduced us to the people who are still living there. And you would think, going to such a place of severe poverty, that the looks on the faces would be what you see in the pictures on postcards and in your TVs, usually when there's an appeal for help. We didn't see that. We saw kids who long to be kids and who are slapping us high fives and who are wanting to know our names and wanting to play football and wanting to learn those slap games that kids like to do and joking around with us and poking fun at us Mzungos, the white-skinned people there. And we were having fun joking around with these kids who live in a dump, who live amongst piles of squalor, literally stacks of shit. And they've been thrown a lot of shit at them in their lives, and a lot of it's stuck. And yet they're still kids. And so we're enjoying the time, even in the midst of all this squalor. And then we get ready for the kids to escort us through the winding streets of Nakuru over to a public park where we're going to feed them lunch. Well, we're met there by one of those tiny VW pickup trucks, and our host, Zablon, the shelter director, Regina, and three women from the faith community, Ann, Anna, and Sophia. Beautiful Kenyan women, sizable Kenyan women. And it's a good thing. They needed all of the strength that they could get, because the containers of food that they had were humongous. These huge metal pots filled with rice and with stew and some sort of orange concoction that they passed off as punch. And so as we made our way into the park, my friend Jamie and myself and my son Trevor, who was 14 at the time, we agreed to help the three women to serve lunch. And we thought it was going to be for the 100 or so kids who we met at the Black Base. Well, word had traveled around town. And lo and behold, there were probably at least 300 homeless young people there waiting to receive lunch. And so we make our way through the crowd, and we hop up into the back of this pickup truck, and we're just smashed inside of the bed. And we're getting ready to prepare to serve the meal. And Zablon and Regina are trying to get the attention of this horde of young people and somehow organize them into something resembling a line. And to our amazement, they eventually do. And so the young people are lined up. They're getting ready for their meal. We're getting the food together and ready. And Zablon gives us the high sign to start serving the food. The women open up the tops of the containers, and the smell of the stew and the rice starts wafting over this group of young people. And those playful, mostly young adults and kids that we were interacting with just an hour earlier are transformed into a hungry, howling pack of hyenas. Think of Lion King when Scar is about to get his just desserts. And the hyenas coming down off the hill, ravenous, starving. And I've never come so close to being in direct contact with the animal part of us as I was in that moment. The kids swarmed around the truck, and the truck started swaying back and forth, and they're pressing in on the truck, and they start reaching their hands through our bodies, not only around us, but through our legs, to grab at any piece of rice, any piece of stew that they could get. We're trying to serve it onto plates and hand it out to them, but the plates half the time are being flung up into the air, and the food's flying everywhere, and kids go chasing after that, and there are people continuing to press in tighter and tighter, harder and harder, and it's getting more and more suffocating, even though we're in the open end of a flatbed truck. And we're feeling the pressure, and the pressure is rising into frustration, and the frustration is boiling into anger. We're about 90 seconds into this, and my son Trevor looks at me with a look that says, "Get me out of here." And so a couple of our team members pushed through the crowd, and we lifted Trevor out of the truck and into a safer area. So Jamie and I are left with the women. And like I said, the arms are pushing through every possible opening. The hands are also going into our pockets, because we have our backs turned and we're trying to get food and serve it. And meanwhile, every pickpocket in town is reaching in there for phones, for cameras, for watches, for jewelry. And I can tell you this, the only jewels they found were of the family variety. So we're not only frustrated, we're feeling violated in this whole experience. And the pressure is just building and building. And Jamie and I are feeling it. And we, as the kids are barking out for food, we start barking back. We start letting some of that anger out and trying to push them back. Give us some space. Give us some room. And eventually, some of the oldest young men see what's going on, and they decide to come in and try and be bouncers. Try and serve as security and try and maintain some sense of order to this calamity. And so they come in and they push their way in and are trying to get the kids organized again. And a couple of them take loose tree branches and bend them together and start whacking kids on the head and trying to get them in order. And it's not working very well, but it's enabling us to get some more food out. And the food supplies are rapidly diminishing. And the kids just keep coming back for more, for more, for more. Talk about extreme hunger. Talk about what addiction can do to a person over an extended period of time. And so finally, the food supplies are just about running out. The mass of humanity is still pressuring in on us, and Zablon sees that there's only one way out of this predicament. He hops into the driver's side of the pickup truck, he turns on the engine, and he very slowly starts driving away. And as he's driving away, he yells out, "Hold on!" And we hold on to anything we can, and the four young men who are helping us jump into the back of the truck too. So we're all packed in there like sardines now, and there are literally young, hungry people running after us and jumping onto the side of the truck, trying to grab on while it's moving 5 miles an hour. And then we move through the park, getting closer to 10 miles an hour, and we're getting towards the exit of the park, 15 miles an hour, and there are still a couple of kids trying to hold on, trying to get any more morsels of food they can. And finally, they let go, and we get into the street, and we start driving away, and there are boys literally sprinting after us, yelling out to us. And we make it around the corner and around another, and we get maybe a quarter of a mile away from the park, and we see that no one else is following us. And something arises from the depths of our souls and the marrow in our bones and out through each of our bodies that is something resembling Walt Whitman's barbaric yawp of relief, of gratitude, that finally we have some space to breathe, that finally we're free to feel a little more human again. Zablon pulls into a parking lot by a little bar and restaurant. The women immediately dig into what's left of the food and give the four young men plates of food. Zablon goes and buys them sodas and pulls out a wad of Kenya shillings and divides it among the four of them as a way to say thank you, Asante Sana, for helping us out. And the boys go away with full stomachs and with smiles on their faces. And then he buys us all a round of drinks as well. And the women are back in the truck cleaning out the pots and finishing up their work. And we drive back towards the park. And we get there, and I am just in awe of these women. Because the women did not ever lose their cool. They did not ever lose their sense of composure or calm or peace. They even laughed as all of the bodies are swarming in on us. And I finally looked at them and I said, "How do you do it? Why do you do it? I'm absolutely stunned that you're able to keep your sense of peace and sense of balance and sense of control and sense of self while doing this." And one of them, Anna, looked at us and she said, "Ah, Brian, yes, the boys can be unruly. Yes, the kids sometimes can get out of control. Sometimes I feel threatened. Sometimes I feel frightened. Sometimes I wonder why I do this week in and week out." And then she moved closer to us, and with this big smile on her face, she said, "But we love them. We love them." And that ground that we were standing on, I could swear, I'm a Californian native, there was something like an earthquake happening right in that moment. Because rarely have I ever been in the face and in the presence of someone who embodied such extreme purpose, such extreme perseverance, such extreme patience, such extreme hope, such extreme love. Asante Sana.
Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community, montanabookstore.com. The Top Hat, regularly bringing Missoula great live music, now with food, tophatlounge.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact, factandfictionbooks.com. Jonathan Marquise, illustrator, artist, and community organizer, jonathanmarquise.com, that's Marquise with a Q. Matt LaRubio, screen printing done right, mlarubio@gmail.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards, and music. Great people, great music, rockandrudys.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. Find us on twitter.com/PSSTTELLUS. That's twitter.com/tellus. Also on Facebook and at tellussomething.org. Interested in telling a story? Call 406-203-4683 or email tellussomething@gmail.com. That's PSST.TELL.US.something@gmail.com to pitch your story. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? Thanks for listening.